If no one knows we're here.
Representative Fitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move LD 1810 ought to pass as amended. The amendment that has been captured in our discussion on both of the yellow sheets, the A10 language as presented with the adjustments that Lucia has so faithfully kept track of, and that would include Representative Fletcher's piece on the green offer.
We should take care of this one.
And I think that pretty well covers it. If I miss something, I'm sure somebody will remind us. Thank you.
That with us and Grace Oliver.
Yes.
On
yes.
The, this sheet, the four-page sheet. Thank you.
And we have a second discussion. Representative Thibodeau.
I just want to understand what happens if absolutely nobody signs up for one watt of this green power that we've been talking about under Representative Fletcher's scenario. I need to understand that, and then at what cost to the ratepayer? I mean, how many dollars are we spending to subsidize this if that doesn't happen?
Representative.
If no one signs up, including the state of Maine, the University of Maine, and the 40 other companies that's involved in the project, I guess I would, if I was here making a decision, I would ask the question, if this is so important, why aren't you a part of it? But my expectation is, because we've heard such great things, that there will be more customers than there will be supply. Now, I say that a little bit facetiously, but I've been really impressed with the quality of the work, the project, the potential for the state of Maine, and if nobody signs up, I think we've got another policy decision to make, if I was here to make it.
Thank you. Representative.
Maybe we could have something in here with some sort of report back as to how that standard offer, maybe it's already in there, but we ought to be notified, because if nobody's signing up, that ought to be brought to the attention of this committee before we move forward with really committing the state of Maine. Does that make sense?
I think that's a good suggestion. The issue is, how many years out do we want to have this report back? Representative Fletcher.
You know, if I could, Mr. Chairman, considering term limits, there's a good possibility that some of us may be back here when, in fact, that wind actually starts turning the blades, because we're talking 2014, 2016.
There'll be a lot of recycling by then, maybe.
You, I mean, yo, we're 5 years out.
But at what point is this off of Maine, and at what point is it appropriate for us to say, hey, wait a second, nobody cares
well,
other than this committee?
That's
if
question.
I couldn't, Mr. Chairman, if I understand the timeline, somewhere between 2014 and 2016, it's operating, because if we put out the RFP, it's got to be operating within 5 years or words to that effect. So if it's implemented so that slightly before that, the green ocean green standard offer, whatever it's called, is available, you should know within the first billing if no one signs up. Because I would anticipate the most likely customers would be anxiously anticipating, because we know it's going to come online. Now, that's a very hard thing to predict what's going to happen, but you won't know who signs up until somebody signs up. But I would think that a year before the blades start turning, there should be a critical review of where we are on the whole project.
So, report pass language.
Have the PUC report to the committee in
5 years.
Well, whatever.
Section A11 has one step of a report back in it.
Yeah. OEIS.
From OEIS, you could make that an annual report back on. There may not be any activity for some period in there, and they just state that. But as things happen, they would at least be able to include that in whatever reports they're submitting regarding any of these programs.
Okay. But this, by the time we figure out that nobody's interested in purchasing Ocean Wind, we've already committed to the 25 megawatts. Is that not correct? I mean, absolutely, we're committed there. So at what cost, guys? I need to understand. $12 million is the upper threshold of this pilot project. Okay.
Representative Van Wee.
Which is to say, I think this is an important economic opportunity for the state of Maine. It's an important business development opportunity, and it's an important opportunity for us to make a fairly large, albeit somewhat risky, step toward renewable energy and a renewable energy economy and a jobs economy that's also based on renewable energy. And I certainly have heard Habib and others make that point very clearly. Again, the concern that I have and the trade-off is what it comes down to is this investment, fairly high-risk investment, worth spending the same amount of money that we're spending on our entire energy efficiency program, being the system benefit charge. I'm trying to do one of these, balancing acts to say it's not an either or. We're not canceling one out, but we're taking the exact, basically up to the same amount of dollars, making an investment. One of them is paying off year after year after year to the tune of $393,000 annual megawatt hours. I don't know the total amount of energy that we're going to get out of this, but I'm trying to make. Pardon me?
That's 87,000 megawatt hours.
87,000 megawatt hours per year out of a 25 megawatt pilot project that, I mean, certainly it may never happen at all, but. Again, that's what I'm trying to balance here, and I want to make that decision. And one of the reasons why I was concerned about not having the ratepayers' perspective on this is because that's a tough call. Even as pro wind as I am, and as pro environment as I am, that's a tough call because I'm trying to decide: should I be spending that money on doubling the size of our efficiency main program, where I can get 393,000 megawatt hours per year, or do I risk it for 87,000? I feel like I'm on what's the show? Do you want to be a millionaire? So I mean, it's. It's ambitious and it's an opportunity, but it is not an easy call.
No, good, Mr. Chairman, but not to open this up as another option, but I will. If you think of it in one way, if we're doing this for economic development as one of the principal gains, it's not inconceivable to me that the legislature, once we have got a higher probability and we understand it, could make a general fund appropriation. Because if you think about what's, we're getting grants, right? That's not ratepayer. It's ratepayer's tax dollars, but it's not directly off the ratepayer. I wouldn't even suggest put it in here because we know how far that would go in today. But if it gets to that point where it is so risky, and the legislature decides they do not want the ratepayer to feel the pain directly, this has to come into a priority discussion within the Department of Economic Development versus all the other things we're doing, or some other amount of money that we're going to pay $12 million a year for this development. So, yo, I'm still of the belief the ratepayer should be the last resort before we've had 1,500 cookie sales and gone out and collected returnables. And that the general fund, if this is so important to the state of Maine, which I believe it is, should be ready to backstop it before we pass that on to the ratepayers as a priority item in the economic development plan. But I'm not going to suggest that in the bill. I think that's for future legislators to decide once we even find out if the technology works. You know, I don't think we could make an appropriation on it because we don't know what we're talking about from the standpoint of the cost impact. But you would hope that would be a consideration by saying, well, it was an experimental project. It looks pretty good or it doesn't look pretty good. You know, we spent $57 million for a computer that didn't work. Now, the taxpayers paid for it, but I wouldn't expect the ratepayers in the electricity market to have to pay for it. But, you know, but that's a whole important issue that needs to be addressed, and I don't think we always have to fall back to the ratepayers. If this is so important and so distinctive that we're doing it not just to generate electricity, but for the economic carry-through for the jobs and the material flow and building turbines and blades and whatever we're doing in the state of Maine.
Representative Van Wee.
Obviously, we're trying to talk ourselves into this here. No, I mean, I think it's an important discussion because it's that's a good point, Representative Fletcher. You know, with a huge amount of overlap, the ratepayers and the taxpayers are the same people. So, from a policy standpoint, the question is: how and where do you make the trade-offs? And we have an opportunity to do it here, without having to go make a trade-off between mental health programs versus this. But this is the difference between putting the same dollars into, say, Efficiency Maine is we are working there to build an industry, but I'm not convinced we can save our way out of our problem either. And so trying to put that investment into generation that will achieve all the other benefits is harder, really. And so therefore you have to take maybe a little bit of a bigger risk to do it. I'd also point that there's probably, you know, you wouldn't have to drive very far to go visit a number of towns that have cumulatively put $12 million into economic development, building industrial parks, hoping somebody will show up someday with the same risk that we're asking to do here that could have a much bigger upside than Community A building an industrial park where they might get a small widget manufacturer to move in. So I guess, you know, again, trying to put things in perspective a little bit, $12 million is, if we're really looking at trying to grow jobs, and many of us are trying to do that in our communities, this is probably as good a bet as many that we put money into. And
Any other comments before we vote? We have a motion. Representative Adams.
I couldn't help but notice, but that the thought verbalized that some of us on this committee would return despite term limits caused Mr. David Allen of CMP to clutch his heart, his head, and collapse into a chair.
I tell you, they're dropping like flies out there.
Hey.
Smart man. Anyone else have anything to add before we take a vote? I'm not going to ask for the audience, so we're going to take a vote. All in favor of the pending motion, please raise your hand. Okay. Let's see. There's very good. We have three slow hands and a few medium and a few strong ones. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. We put a lot of work in this, and I thank the stakeholders. And I mean that. I think we've we've addressed most of the concerns. This, again, is it's somewhat of a flyer. But the good news is we didn't make the priority decisions between safety net issues and this project. It came from the policy of Washington. Thank you very much. We're going to we got a few more items to look at. I think we have one minor. We'll take one minor issue, and John Clark will pass out, and then we'll get to the corridor issue. We have got, just so you know, is that we have extensions. We got two extensions. I'm sure, because they know we're working hard. Representative Fitz.
Well, I just see some angst from our analyst over whether or not she can compile the Ocean Energy Bill in one day. But given that it's 6:30,
if you can't, that's fine. I wouldn't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I mean, if you can't, it's.
We could always say to leadership that maybe we can't quite finish it, and we'll put it off. Then they'll let us have time.
That's right.